As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. Do you really think the wall fell down because they shouted? Do you think the wall came crumbling down because they blasted the trumpet? Do you think it had anything to do with the fact that they marched around the city for 6 days and then on the seventh day they did seven laps around the city? Do you think any of that caused the wall to fall flat? Now, before you answer, I should tell you that archaeologists have discovered that the wall surrounding Jericho, that there was a stone retainer wall that was 10 to 12 feet tall. And then on top of that, there was another 10 to 12 feet of mud bricks. And by the way, it was 6 feet thick. I don't think any amount of shouting, any amount of trumpets or marching around the city was going to bring down the wall. There's only one way the wall was going to come down, and that was through the power and the might of God. So what was God doing with having the people march around? And what was the whole purpose of blowing the ram's horn and giving a shout? Is there more going on here? Perhaps it's not just the wall around the city that God wants to tear down, but maybe it's the wall around the hearts of the people. Walls that were keeping God at arm's length. Walls that was stopping them from surrendering to God completely. Like the wall of pride. Pride gets in the way. Because the danger of pride is we somehow think that we're self-sufficient. And so there's the danger of self-sufficiency. Could it be that God was worried that his people would come to the conclusion that they didn't need him, that they could handle this all on their own? After all, they had some success on the other side of the Jordan. There were enemies that came up to them. They'd formed an army. They fought them off. Now imagine they come across the Jordan. What happens if all of a sudden they get a couple quick successive battles? And all of a sudden, they've conquered this city, they've conquered that city. Before you know it, they're starting to feel like, we're pretty good. Army's going well. Joshua's a great leader. We're going to handle this. We're going to conquer the land. They're going to conquer the land. See, they didn't need God. Is that the danger that was happening? The danger is real for us. It's real for us, for us to have the wall of pride come in, to say that we've got all that we need, that we can handle everything in life, especially when things are going well. In other words, if the only time that you need God is when you're in trouble, if the only time you pray to God is when you're asking Him for something, you got a big decision or some hurdle to make over, but when life's going great, when everything is wonderful, when the career is right on track, retirement's great, the kids, the grandkids are all doing wonderful, right? You've got your health, everything is great. It's easy to disengage. Who needs God at that point? You wouldn't put it that way, but maybe through your life and your actions, that's really how you're living. Who needs God? Everything's going so well here, I can take care of everything myself. You see, that's why the wall of pride has to come down. The wall of pride has to come down for God to remind us that we need Him, that we have to rely solely on Him, and God made that abundantly clear with the city of Jericho. Of all the different places that they could have attacked first, no, let's take the fortified city of Jericho with its 25-foot-tall wall, 6 feet thick. It's impenetrable. No amount of strategizing, no amount of cunning, no ladders, no ropes. There's no way that they are getting inside the city. It's impossible. And if you recall from last week, it's harvest season. That's why the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Again, God showing them there's no way they're going to get across the Jordan unless God intervenes. But if it's harvest season, that means more than likely inside the city, they've got a year's worth of food. Scripture specifically says no one was coming out and nobody was getting in. They had everything they needed. They could outlast them. They could outlast the Israelites until they finally got fed up and going home. So it's impossible for them to get in. You see, God was showing them that beyond a shadow of a doubt, He was going to give them Jericho, that He was going to give them the promised land, that it was only by His might would this be accomplished. And by the way, not only was He showing the Israelites, He was showing all the other nations of the promised land that it is the God of Israel that's marching ahead of them, and the God of Israel is doing some pretty powerful things, giving, first of all, Jericho into their hands. You see, God wants to make sure that it was Him and Him alone. Same thing is true when we're facing impossible situations. Sometimes those impossible situations come into our life to remind us how much we need God and how much we are to rely upon God, so we don't get all haughty and think that we can take care of everything ourselves. The writer of Hebrews put it this way. He says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. And if you go down to verse 11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Now, first of all, discipline is not punishment. Somehow I think we get that mixed up. We think, Johnny does something bad, something wrong, and so he's disciplined, right? Gets a rap on the butt. Can't do that anymore, can you? Okay, all right. Anyways, you get the idea that that's discipline, right? No, discipline is when you want to teach, when you want to train, right? So it's when the little child goes to put its hand up on the hot stove, right? And mom slaps the hand. That wasn't punishment, but it was to get the point across, don't put your hand on the hot stove. And pretty soon, the child's going to learn not to do that and learn to trust that their parents want what's best for them. Sometimes God disciplines us. And so what God does is He allows these impossible situations to come into our life to where finally it was like, well, okay, we can't do anything about it. And that's the point. Because the wall of pride has to come down. And the wall of pride comes down when we cry out to God. The wall of pride comes down when we cry out to God and we say, I can't do it. I can't do it, God. It's beyond me. I give up. And we finally surrender to God. We've exhausted all the possibilities. Nothing's working. Until we finally come in humbleness to God and say, I can't do anything about it, God. And it's at those moments that God steps in. It's never as soon as we want Him to step in, but it's those moments that God does amazing things and shows us that it's not about us, but it's about Him and all that He does in our lives. When we finally surrender to Him, that's when the wall of pride comes down. But sometimes when the wall of pride comes down, it reveals another wall. It's the wall of doubt. So whereas the wall of pride says, I can do it all by myself, I've got this covered, the wall of doubt says, only God can do it, I'm just not sure that He will. Only God can solve this problem, but I'm not sure that He's listening. It's the wall of doubt. The danger here is that of paralysis, and that's where we don't do anything because we're so filled with doubt, we're fearful of have any actions. So, for instance, there were two sets of spies that went into the promised land. The first set, you may recall, was sent by Moses. Moses sends the spies in. The spies come back with the report. The report is, ooh, the land is everything that God said it was and then some, flowing with milk and honey and lush grains and rivers. It's awesome. But the people there, they're going to have us for lunch. There are giants over there, they say. There's no way we're going to be able to take the land. It was an impossible situation. And everyone missed it except for Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb come forward and they say, no, no, no. God said He's going to give us the land. Saddle up. Let's go. God's giving us the land. But the people were crippled with fear. And they were paralyzed with doubt. And so they didn't go in. 40 years later, they're back at the same spot. Until this time, they finally go in. doubt can paralyze. And everyone has doubts, by the way. Everyone. Nobody wants to admit it because somehow we think that our salvation is at risk or something that makes it seem weak. Everybody, including yours truly, has doubts at times. It isn't that you don't believe in God. Sure, you believe in God. You believe in God, you believe that he's all-knowing, you believe that he's all-powerful, you believe all the promises that he's made, but you're just not quite believing he's going to do anything for you. If you've been struggling with something for a long time and it's an impossible situation, you just wonder, you know, is God really going to heal the sickness? Is God really going to bring the relationship back together? Will God ever let me find a job? It isn't that you don't believe, but doubts are, that's just part of what it is to live this side of heaven. Doubts come in. I gotta believe the guys marching around Jericho, right? They're marching around Jericho. It's the third day. Somebody had to say to the person next to him, I feel silly. This is stupid. I've been walking around the city for 3 days, right? Here, who would think that on the seventh day, the walls are going to come down? The doubt is just part of it. So the wall of doubt then has to come down. And the wall of doubt comes down when we cry out to God. When we cry out to God, I believe, help my unbelief. That was the words of a father whose son was possessed by a demon since he was very young. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 9. The father comes to Jesus. He brings his son with him. Son is foaming at the mouth. Jesus says, how long has this been going on? He says, ever since he was a little boy. He's foaming at the mouth. People are scared of him. He says, a couple times he's thrown himself in the fire to try and kill himself. Another time he tried to drown himself, right? So the wall of pride for this man, that has long since been toppled down. He has tried everything. Imagine the years of watching his son go through this, right? Day after day, and no one can help him. So he comes to Jesus, and he says, if you can, will you heal my son? And Jesus comes back. He says, if I can. He says, all things are possible for those who believe. And that's when the father says this, I believe, help my unbelief. What raw honesty on his part. I do believe Jesus, but I'm filled with doubts after so many years. So help my unbelief. Sometimes maybe we need to cry out that. I do believe, but help my unbelief. Because Jesus takes away doubt. Jesus takes away our doubt. Impossible situations become resolved when Jesus steps in. Jesus healed the man's son. He cast out the demon, because impossible situations, they get worked out when Jesus steps in. The ultimate impossibility, the biggest wall that any of us face, is the wall of sin that separates us from God. It is impenetrable. There's no going under it. There's no going over it. There's no going through it. The wall of our own sin separates us from God, and there's no way that we're getting through it. It has to come down, and it comes down with a shout. With the shout of Jesus on the cross, as he cries out, it is finished. Jesus says, my work is done. He's taken the punishment for our sin. He's taken the guilt of our sin. And through his blood, he paid the price for all of it, and the wall of sin fell flat. And we now have access to the Father in heaven. Jesus removes the doubt because he takes care of the impossible. And if he's taking care of the greatest impossibility, the wall of sin, that what won't he do for you? See, I have no doubt that some of you right now are dealing with something impossible. Something that's been going on, you've just been struggling with it and struggling with it. I don't know, does the wall of pride need to come down? Only you can answer that. Are you trying to do it all on your own? Are you carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? maybe you just need to cry out to God and say, I can't do this anymore. I can't handle it. I turn it over to you. Just surrender to God. Maybe it's the wall of doubt. You've been waiting so long, and you've tried to be patient, and you believe God, but you just wonder, is anything ever going to change? Then maybe you need to cry out, I believe, God. I do, I believe. But help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. God's still tearing down walls. It may not be the walls of fortified cities, but maybe it's the walls around your heart. And when the walls come down, you'll see the amazing things that God does. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? God, only you can see our hearts. You know what our struggles are. You know what the walls are that we've put up around them. We ask that you would take down and tear down and flatten all those walls so that our heart could belong to you alone and that we could see you in our lives every moment of every day. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.